Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Sports Daily. Hope everybody survived the storm last night. My goodness, that ripped through the early hours of the morning, and we are here. We're going to figure out what's going on. I've heard Crestview Country Club and the Wichita Open setup took a pretty good smack there. So we're going to stay tuned for any information we can get on what's going on with Wichita Open, which is set to begin in just a couple of days here. So stay tuned for that. Jacob Albrock here. Brandon Zinner with us today. Max Power in producing. Glad to be back with you after a couple of days off. Hope everybody enjoyed the holiday weekend for Father's Day, and hope everybody enjoyed everything going on in the sports world. A break from the Royals, which might be a good thing. The Thunder take command of the NBA Finals. All what's on tap for you. And it's brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Locations East, West, historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. We'll also have Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, kind of double duty as our NFL insider. This time of year, he will join us in the next hour as well. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jacob. Yesterday would have been an excellent one to go to Wichita Brewing Company, just sit back, eat some good pizza, and throw on the TV, because, man, for a random Monday in June, it was electric for sports. How about a no-no in the College World Series? And then Shohei Ohtani back on the mound last night, also a couple of RBIs, and then cap it off with Thunder taking a 3-2 edge in the NBA Finals. A great random Monday night in the middle of June.
So, full disclosure, I have been like traveling in airport hell and everything for a while now. It's been a pretty chaotic last few days. We made it back. The Royals, I have been up at the hospital with my dad. Thank you, everybody, for the prayers. He got through his surgery. He's doing great. So I've been watching a lot of Rangers baseball with him. I watched game 4 of the NBA Finals, but have been like in the air moving around. So just bits and pieces yesterday of the NBA Finals. So we'll lean on Brandon for that. I've seen the highlights. I've done all those kinds of things, but it's not locked in that way. But yeah, it's been crazy, and it's been an oddly for, you know, June, mid-June, It's felt really busy on the sports viewing landscape. The U.S. Open was incredible over the weekend. I watched a lot of that sitting up at the hospital. So it's been an interesting last few days. But, you know, we pay attention most recently to the Thunder and what they did, and to the Royals and what they have not been doing. But the Thunder last night, which we'll get into here, of course, on the show today, they take that game. You know, that's kind of that game that you got to have in a seven game series. Before we get into specifically last night, Brandon, I think Indiana has surprised the world in this series. Can they surprise the world enough to win a series like this now with their back against the wall?
With what looks like a now hobbled Tyrese Haliburton and a two-headed monster of OKC with SGA and Jalen Williams that is clicking on all cylinders. I mean, they scored or assisted on 103 of their 120 points last night. I mean, you're talking about an all-time performance from two of the bright young stars in the league. I think Thunder fans are cautiously optimistic that this time next week, they'll all probably be waking up with a hangover after a big-time parade in downtown OKC next Monday.
Yeah, I think Indiana can. I think they can certainly win a game at home, and I don't know enough about the health right this very second because I've been a little disconnected about what Haliburton's status is. But they've surprised me the whole series. They should have won game four. They should have gone up 3-1 in this series. So it's hard for me to say, like, they got no chance here. Because I think they've been closer than everybody thought they would be in this series anyway. But I'm with you. I think it's pretty unlikely. I think Oklahoma City is – it's not even – like, they could definitely win at home and take it to game seven. But it's just hard to imagine Oklahoma City losing two more games, you know, before they win one with the opportunity that they have in front of them. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. We'll dig into that as we get into it here. The Royals, as we continue to sort of take a look at what's on tap. They don't play yesterday, thankfully, probably. They are, you know, they're losing a lot of ground here. Now losers of six straight. It would be nice if you could look at it. Everybody in the division's on a losing streak, but it hasn't really mattered. And the wild card is getting further and further out of reach. And we are in mid-June, and this is, you know, we'll spend some time here today. And I don't know if you and Tommy got into this yesterday. We got to probably start imagining a world where the Royals are sellers at the deadline. And I don't like that, and it's too early for it, but it would definitely be an advantageous year to be one with some of the assets they would probably be looking to and willing to move if that comes to pass. We got a long way to go, and they got to get it turned around. But, man, they are falling out of this thing fast. One bad week like this in this American League wild card can do that to you.
Yeah, we did get into it with Jalen Thompson yesterday. We can dive into it more as we go throughout the show. But, yeah, I was just digging into the numbers earlier this morning. This 0-6, that homestand, is going to be something I think we look back on at the end of the year and kind of a real turning point in the season. Fangraphs had them favored in four of those six games. If they win, if they do that, they're over 500. We're not talking about where we're at right now, but instead, yeah, here we are. They're getting ready to face a brutal stretch to end the first half, and we're sitting here contemplating who could be selling on this, who could be sold on this team, and we can dive into some of those names as we go throughout here.
Yeah, I mean, look, we just got to think about it. They're only three games back of the wild card, so it's not time yet by any means. One good week to match a bad week, and they're right back in a good position. It's just weird, right? It's just a little strange because the talk the entire season has been, what should they buy at the deadline? And now they're in a position where, yeah, they're only three games back, but they're three, four, five. There's six teams out of the last wild card spot, right? Like, that's what's so crazy. And that's crazy about the wild card race that it's that close anyway. But the division is, like, off the table at the moment. Like, we don't even need to say, oh, we probably shouldn't think about the division at this. But no, it's off the table right now. It's all about the wild card. And that's enough. I mean, that's enough for me anyway to continue to be aggressive. But Whew, we'll get into that as we make our way through as well. I want to remind you that the summer concert series is back at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover. That series returns this Friday, June 20th, Across the Pond, live on stage. Gates will open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. You can enjoy free live music, food trucks, and Friday night fun all summer long. You'll find the full schedule at knssradio.com, kfhradio.com. But the summer concert series begins. It's back. It starts this week at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater. All right, when we come back, let's dig into that Royals quandary. How far away are they from doing just that, becoming sellers in this thing, and how realistic is it that they can heat up and climb right back into it? They could do it quickly. They could do it in a week, but they got to win the games. We'll get into that. It's Jacob Albrecht and Brandon Zinner at Sports Daily on a Tuesday, and we'll keep our eye on any news for the Wichita Open. Man, storm damage is disrupting a week now, potentially. So we'll have all that for you here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Brandon Zinner with you on the show today. We got you for the next little while. You've got a chance to win some golf coming up later in the show out at Crestview Country Club. We'll just do that right now, actually. You can text to win right now. It's golf for two at Crestview Country Club. Text the keyword golf to the number 20357 to enter. One winner's picked every Friday through June. One entry per 24-hour period. Message and data rates apply. More details at kfhradio.com. Again, that's golf 20357 for a chance at golf to Crestview Country Club with a cart included in that. Good luck, everybody. I know that's been a very popular giveaway for us. Boy, Crestview, Brandon, I got some text this morning of what it looks like out there, and it's not good. I don't know what they're going to do. It looks like that storm that rolled through this morning really damaged the facilities and the setup for the Wichita Open. I'm not sure what they have time to do, especially with another storm rolling in tonight. This is a little unprecedented, at least in my time with the Wichita Open. So I'm not sure what's going to go on, but we'll try to see if we can get some information. I'm sure a lot of folks are just kind of rolling up on that here this morning, but you know, good luck, everybody. Godspeed. We've got plans to be out there live later this week. We know a lot of people set their calendars to this event, so we'll kind of keep an eye on that. And you know, Godspeed to everybody who's dealing with the trees down. I just took a look out the front door of my neighborhood right now, and it's pretty gnarly out there. I had all three kids in my bed this morning. They were all just like one at a time, like, hey, and that wind was coming in sort of toward their windows. And I'm like, you know what? Like, saddle up, partner. Like, it is. It sounded like their windows were going to shatter. That was a brutal storm.
Yeah, we had the alerts started going off, I think, around 4 a.m. Yeah. And then the wind followed it. We had a 101 mile an hour wind recorded at Eisenhower. And then, yeah, I mean, we have our 12 news colleagues are out and about. I mean, there's a lot of down trees and cars that are damaged, streets that are damaged, and Valley Center looks like they took a pretty big hit today. And obviously there's just a lot of damage throughout the Wichita Metro right now. So yeah, thoughts out to everybody, hoping that not too bad of damage, but yeah, just in more storms on the way tonight, our team is forecasting. So yeah, to everybody, stay safe out there.
Yeah, it's interesting and a great time to mention the, you know, the now partnership between Odyssey and Storm Team 12. That Storm Team 12 app, yeah, I was aware of what was happening before it got there. That thing was buzzing at me and telling me, hey, there's something cooking out there, basically. Severe thunderstorm, and like it kind of shakes you for a minute because you're like, wait, is there a tornado coming, like what are we doing? And then I was like, no, it's just a severe. And then I looked at that thing on the radar and I was like, oh no, like that is gonna smack us with that wind. Like if you ever look at a radar, that was like as much of a wind setup as there ever has been. It was just like, oh god, here we go, this is gonna be bad. And I hadn't even thought about the Open at that point. Somebody sent me some pictures out there this morning and I'm just, it doesn't look good. It does not look good, as nor does anything in town right now. So stay tuned, and hopefully tonight's, maybe we'll get lucky with tonight's, but you know, don't maybe wait a day for the cleanup because you might be right back out there tomorrow.
Yeah. You never know in Wichita, and there's supposed to be professional softball going on in town tonight. Just a really exciting time for the city, but yeah, hopefully between all these storms and all the cleanup that's going to have to happen today, and who knows, maybe more on tap for tomorrow as we get prepared for the Open as well. Yeah, hopefully we can just get through the week and everyone can have fun enjoying these awesome events in town.
Yeah, we'll keep you, any updates we get, we will pass them along. Brandon and I obviously have access to a lot of different information through here with Odyssey and KFH and through 12 News, so we'll let you know the latest as we hear it. Let's talk Royals here. Just what an absolute disaster of a week it was. The Yankees, look, the Yankees came in and pushed them around a little bit. That doesn't surprise us, I don't think. The Yankees are capable of that, certainly this year. And then the A's do it in Kansas City. And, of course, to pour salt on the wound, the last one is extra devastating as you had the lead there. Man, I don't know what to do here. I don't want to. What the correct answer is, just don't overreact. You still have a month before you have to make any key decisions, and they're only three games out of a wild card. But man, like, I just can't figure. It looked for a second there like, okay, they've got a chance here. Now they're starting to. It's right after they called up Cags. They had a week where they were scoring some runs over a decent stretch of games there, and then they regressed right back to where they were offensively. And now you got to combine it with the inevitable coming back down to earth for, you know, the pitching staff. And this is, I think, what we get. I just don't know, as they go on the road and play two good teams, and then they come back home and play two good teams, and then they go back on the road and play two good teams, and then boom, it's July 7th. I don't know how to set an expectation for this, Brandon. Like, I don't. It's hard to imagine right now that they all of a sudden, you know, over the next, what is that, 18 games, that they tear off a stretch where they win a bunch of those games.
I mean, yeah, we have a 72-game sample size of this year, but then these same issues that we've seen, you have to also remember that they go back to the final 30 games of last year, ever since Vinny Pasquantino went on the IL in late August of last year. This team just has not been the same. It's basically the exact same team that we've saw last year, with the addition of Jonathan India and Mark Canna, who plays it sparingly. And then now Cags into the fold as well. But I mean, this team just not coming through with any offense late in these games. We talked about it yesterday, the managerial decisions with Mark, with Matt Cotraro pulling Noah Cameron after 82 pitches and five innings where he's dealing because his bullpen is rested. When, I mean, this guy's proven to be one of the best pitchers in the AL already this year, and we're taking him out for John Schreiber and Angel Zerpa. A lot of different ways that we can get into the discussion, but I mean, yeah, just from a team that had a 62% chance to get to the playoffs just over a month ago after winning 16 of 18 to now they're 10-22 since then. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and the Cameron thing is interesting, of course, because you're fresh on the mind of what happened against the Yankees, and I think with him, everyone's always like, oh, when does he come back down to earth? But you almost have to just, okay, the Yankees game has to be this outlier, especially the way he had started that game against the A's, right? It wasn't like he struggled again. He's had one bad start out of, out of seven. One out of seven. I agree. Let him cook a little bit. At least in that game, they, you know, you leave him in when he's getting shelled by the Yankees, but pull him when he's dealing against the A's. I'm with you on that. But that ain't going to be the difference in what's happening right now. That one decision. What's happening right now is a little more holistic. Let me say this with one, like, full disclosure. I'm not saying it's time to punt at all. Like, not even a little bit. It's not. They're three games back in a wild card, and they're very talented, and they should have good starting pitching, even without Cole Reagans. Like, they shouldn't be thinking that way now in the locker room. But I think the front office can start considering it. Like, what are our options here? What if in this stretch we just play a lot of good teams and we can't be any better than 500 in that stretch? And now all of a sudden it's July 8th and we're five or six games out of the wild card or worse. What would you do in that scenario that they probably honestly up until about now haven't even really thought about? Like, and they may still not be thinking about it. But they've got a lot of, you know, they've got a lot of things that they could think about doing that could make them a lot better for the future. And I don't want that to be what happens. And again, I'm not standing here today and saying, oh, the Royals need to be sellers at the trade deadline. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying they should probably start thinking about what if that scenario does come up in about a month from now.
And like we talked about yesterday, they're. You can point to reasons why they should be buyers. You can point to reasons why you could see them being sellers. And you can also point to reasons why they should just stay pat, ride this season out, because they've shown the ability to be one of the better teams in the AL when they're healthy and when they're clicking. But, I mean, we've also seen now this ugly side. Yeah, if you do talk about selling, then you start looking at, okay, well, Who could be sold, and if we decide to make this make that decision in 3.5 weeks when the All-Star break comes here. You have Chris Bubich, who is the most obvious candidate. And then you look at Seth Lugo, a guy who has a player option after this year. He's probably going to opt out of that because of how well he has pitched now for back-to-back seasons. And then you start going down the line. Who else would anybody want from this team?
Well, that's what I'm looking at. Okay, so we've got you've got Waka with a deal that ends now in 2028 because he signed his extension, right? So Lugo would be probably very desirable.
Yeah.
He expires. Well, he expires now in 26. So that's next year.
Yeah, that's it's a player option after this year for Lugo.
So he's on the table, I would
absolutely,
think.
Absolutely.
Estevez is going to be on the table, I would think. And even though he's got a longer deal, and again, I think teams would want him. Lorenzen for sure would be on the table. Nobody's going to want Hunter Harvey because he's hurt right now. Yeah. Schreiber would be desirable, probably.
They could take him.
Well, I mean, a team could use him. And they got a lot of them. Taylor Clark, people might want. I don't think you're to the point now with Vinny the way he's going. You don't even think about that. You know, a lot of these bullpen guys will get interesting. Like, what are they going to, and they have so many players pre-arbitration, like what would they, you know, what would teams be willing to take on? But they've got bullpen pieces people are going to like, but I think the big one is Lugo. And I think, you know, Lorenzen, Waka now with the longer deal, probably you'd want to hang on to. Because that does feel like it's still going to be team friendly ish. So I don't know. There'll be pieces. I mean, they're not going to trade Salvador Perez, who would be the other probably candidate, but they're not going to do that, I don't think. It's anything. Like, what do? You free up the money is as much of anything, I think, Brandon, because like that opens you back up next free agency period. Or there's nothing wrong with standing pat and like just hanging tight and trying again next year with another addition. You know, trade some of the bullpen pieces, of course. Get a little bit at the deadline. Just ride it out. And honestly, like we've seen this team rattle off 18 out of 20. If they held pat, stayed within 5-6 games of this wild card and had a great month to end the season, that could get them into a postseason. Like, it's going to be a really difficult decision to make for Kansas City. It really is. Are they going to be in a good enough position to be hyper-aggressive on rental players?
I don't know the teams that they're going to have to compete with to be buyers in the AL. You're talking about, I don't know. I don't think Boston's a buyer now with their decision.
Which, no, they're so clearly trying to pay attention to their finances.
That's such
boring.
A strange situation. But, I mean, Toronto, I have to imagine that they're going to be willing to go out and spend money. Seattle has always shown that, hey, we're going to do whatever we can to improve this team. The Rangers, you would think if they're in a position to be in the mix for the postseason, them as well. Cleveland, we know, will. So all those teams in front of them, yeah, it's easy to say, yeah, you got to go out and be buyers. Well, you got to be buyers and be willing to pay more than guys and teams in front of you. And the Royals don't have the assets to go out and be huge buyers.
I don't know that, honestly, I don't even know that I'd advocate for buying at this point. I really don't. Like, what would they go get? Now, if they can go get a controllable player that makes sense for their long-term future,
yeah,
that's a little different. Like, if they can get an Urseg-type player, or if they could go
the trade.
Yeah, trade power for power, kind of like they did with the India trade, and find another outfielder maybe. But I honestly, like, standing pat is a perfectly acceptable outcome to me, because I just don't know. There's no reason that they can't be in a great position next year, the way it looks on paper right now. There's no reason they can't get hot. I mean, unless they had an absolute disaster this month, that's like what happened last week over an entire month, basically. They're not going to be far enough out of it that they can't feel like they have a chance. Can they be far enough out of it that they feel like they don't need to go do anything to like add players like we thought probably 2 weeks ago? Sure. Yeah, I think that's possible. Totally. I just don't know, like, standing pat probably makes as much sense as anything else, because you're only halfway through the season basically when you hit the trade deadline, essentially. I mean, the Royals are talented enough to rattle off a bunch of wins. Does anybody think that anymore? Like, I don't think that's out of the realm of pot. They're going to get on a heater at some point this year. Again, at least one. They may get on a couple. That's going to happen, I would think. And if that does, in this wild card race, does it get you in? I think it might. They're three games out. As bad as it's been lately, they're only three games out. That's crazy. That's wild. They sit here now four games under 500 and are within striking distance of this thing. And it's not just three games of the last one. It's four and a half of the second one and six of the first one. Like, they're still very much in play for all three of them. So I think we go through this today because we wonder, like, well, what if they did decide to be sellers? Could they go and make the future better? If they went as far as to do Lugo, yeah, they probably could. Lugo would be as desirable, I would imagine, as any player at the trade deadline. Like, he could bring a pretty good haul. And I think if they're in the kind of position they're in right now and that sort of call gets made, you probably have to entertain the call. You have to. Because even if you traded Lugo now with Noah Cameron, when Reagans comes back, you've still got five starters. Plus, potentially Alec Marsh down the road. I think you could still live with that if somebody, blows you away with an offer. Or Lorenzen. Either way, they could afford to trade a starting pitcher if they're kind of in this purgatory that it's felt like they've been in now for a month. But it's fascinating. And look, the reality is they're not the only team facing this. Almost every team in the American League faces this same conundrum right now, where they're kind of, should we buy? Should we sell? Should we stand pat? Like, that's the entire American League outside of a handful of teams. You've got the Yankees and you've got the Tigers. Maybe you feel that way about the Astros. I don't think they're for real. Maybe they are. So everybody could be right there in that same mix. It's a wild year in the American League. At the end of the day, just go win some games. This series to start the week is a pretty big one. The Rangers are in the exact same boat. They just flip-flopped it. They were playing like hell and had a good week last week. The Royals were the opposite. Now you've got this series where they're both kind of in the same place in the wild card standings.
Yeah, the only thing that we know that the Royals have shown the ability to get on a heater, but it's just that the way that they've done it, and we have never seen Chris Bubich put up these numbers that he has for nearly an entire season. Noah Cameron, he has been excellent, but still seven starts into his career. Can he replicate this to 14, 15 starts? Can we still see numbers similar to this? The offense, the offense is not going to produce. We've seen it through 72 games. It's not a 30-game sample size. It's 72.
Rick says, why not use the most valuable trade asset and trade Vinny? They have first base glut. Probably because it's hard to imagine this offense down the road without Vinny. The problem with Vinny's been he's been so streaky. Man, when he's good, he's great. He has these cold streaks in him. So we'll see. But I think as long as Cags has the ability to play some outfield, they don't have a first base glut right now. I think they're okay with there. I just cannot imagine them moving forward without Vinny's bat in the lineup when he's going well. Otherwise, sometimes, I don't know. I doubt they would do that. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea and one we've certainly considered here. And so have most other people. But then you see him when he gets hot and you're like, yeah, I don't think that's probably a very good idea. They should probably hang on to him. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think anything's off the table for the Royals right now. We'll get more into that and look ahead to how do they get it turned around in the next hour. Let's talk NBA Finals, Brandon. The Thunder get it done last night. Their two stars were fantastic. Williams, SGA, 71 points combined. It felt like un-Thunder-like. It was kind of those two where they always attack you from so many different ways. I mean, you pay more attention in the regular season than I do. How often do the Thunder go that top heavy? It doesn't feel like they do that all that often.
No, yeah, they can definitely attack you from a multitude of ways, like I was talking about when we previewed it yesterday with Tommy and I. I mean, you have Isaiah Hartenstein can go out and get you double doubles. Chet Holmgren can go surely go get you 20. But I mean, it is SGA and Jalen Williams for the most part. And I mean, last night was when you talk about NBA Finals performances by a duo. I mean, we saw some epic stuff from the likes of Stephen Clay, Stephen KD, certainly Kyrie and LeBron over the years, but. I mean, that performance last night by SGA and Jalen Williams combined is as good of a duo performance as you will ever see in an NBA Finals.
So what was interesting to me about that game, going back to look back at it, right? Because I wasn't home yet when it started. It sort of looks like it started the way a lot of these games have started. And then the Pacers made their run in the third. And then it's, you know, the Pacers have kind of been in that spot in even one games in this series where they get down and they hang around and then they make a big surge in the second half. But they couldn't do that last night. And I guess that goes back to our original conversation earlier. Like, I'm done calling it out of the question that the Pacers do anything in the series. Like, I think they're capable of doing just about anything because we've seen them do just about anything. I didn't think there was any way that they would be in a position to go up 3-1 in this series, and they should have gone up 3-1 in this series, notwithstanding to the injury. I think they're still alive. I think they're still alive. I think the Thunder will win it, but I'm not ready. And they could win it in six for sure. But the Pacers just like they don't they're kind of like Oklahoma City. Like, I don't know that they're uncomfortable in any situation. I mean, last night they had a chance to roll over and just get smashed. Man, they made a run back in the second half. Like, they got it interesting again there for a little bit. It's only an 11-point game because the Thunder got out to the big lead. But the Pacers, they outscored them in the second half. I don't think that's for nothing.
Yeah. The Haliburton for if he was didn't make a shot last night. He only ended up scoring 4 points from the free throw line. The calf injury started bothering him there in the first quarter, and that's when OKC, they jumped out to a lead by as much as 18 points. But, I mean, TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin off the bench combining for 30 points was huge and helping the Pacers claw back into this game, and Pascal Siakam was incredible as well throughout. But I think if the Haliburton injury is going to be something that if it replicates itself in Game 6 and OKC now has 2 days to game plan for how they want to try to attack that, I just have too much faith in this OKC team to get it done against a hobbled Pacers team. But to your credit, like you just said, they were down 18, come back, and they make it a three-point game, I think it was, with 6 minutes to play. They're right there. And then Jalen Williams just, I mean, he had 40 points last night. He just finds a way to help close out this game. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Pacers find a way to get it done in Game 6. I just have too much faith in this OKC team and their top two dogs to end this one and not even give the Pacers a chance to have more life, because anything can happen in a Game 7.
Totally. Yeah, you don't – I mean, Oklahoma City, they would be crazy not to go pedal to the metal and do it, especially if Halliburton's a little bit hobbled now. I think, like, for me, look, they have given us a really compelling series so far, which is all we hoped for. I mean, you knew how this was going to go all along. You'll hear about, oh, look at the ratings. The ratings are lower. Like, of course. And again, like, of course they are, because the home markets are smaller. Fewer people are going to watch just in the home markets. I hate that conversation because I don't think, like, the diehard NBA fans are watching no matter who's playing. Right. So that audience is sort of unchanged. Then it pretty much is like, well, how big are the home markets? It's just the home market. It's not small ratings because it's not good basketball or people aren't interested. It's just like the home bases are smaller. Right. And I don't know that anybody in basketball overcomes that other than LeBron. Still, even today, like, I think he's probably the only player that would make everybody sort of tune in a little bit even. But otherwise, it's going to be diehard NBA fans. And it's going to be the home markets. That's just the way it is. So I love that they've given us a good series. That's all I hoped for, because I think it's a great story if either one of these teams win this series. But because it's been such a good series, I just kind of have a hard time thinking Indiana's going to roll over at home in Game 6. And that's not going to be a great game. It could happen because I think Oklahoma City's good enough for that to happen. But there's nothing we've seen out of Indiana this entire postseason that makes us think, oh, yeah, they're outmatched now. Like now, all of a sudden, they're not going to bring it like they've brought it the entire postseason. They won game one. Game two was sort of that game, right? That was, what is it? It was, I'm just looking here, 16 points. And that was it. That was really the only big victory. Do you count an 11-point win last night on the road? Like, that's not a huge win.
No,
not at all.
They were able to cover. It was nine and a half, and they were able to cover. And again, that was a 3-point game, 4-point game there with in the final half of that fourth quarter. There's no reason the Pacers Pacers are going to be the underdogs at home. I haven't looked at the lines. I'd imagine OKC is probably 8.5, 9.5 point favorites yet again on the road to close it out in game six, like, just like they have been all series, it seems like. But, I mean, the Pacers team, I mean, Pascal Siakam's an NBA champion. Tyrese Haliburton is Tommy doesn't think he's a superstar, but, I mean, he's right there. I mean, this is a guy who was on the Olympic team we're talking about. This is one of the top, I mean, 20 players in the entire world. I mean, they just got a bunch of good team guys, and they have such a good system under Rick Carlisle. There's no reason that they cannot – the Pacers could still very much win this whole thing. We've seen it all playoffs long. I just have too much faith in SGA, who's looked like the best player on the planet now for a calendar year, and Jalen Williams, who is a budding superstar in his own.
You know what? I saw this morning. Jalen Williams, like, we're already trying to paint Jalen Williams into the Klay Thompson, Scottie Pippen role, aren't we? Like, yeah. can we just stop for a second with that? Because that's not, like, sometimes that can be an insult, right? Like, not, and we don't even intend to do it. But Jalen Williams was the best player on the floor last night, mm-hmm. right? Let's hang tight a minute, and not try to say, oh, he's this great number two. That's almost an insult. Can he just be a great player?
Yeah, we always.
Like SGA, they have two great players. Do we have to say there's a one and a two? Do we have to do that dance again? I'm guilty of this too. We did it with Jaylen Brown in Boston. Like, we don't. It doesn't. You don't have to have like a pecking order. Like, can they both just be great?
Yeah, I mean, they're both all NBA guys. I mean, it's just, you know? It's that simple. They can have two of the best 20 guys in the league, and you don't have to be like, SGA is great, but he's clearly the one to
number two
that is, because they also have Chet Holmgren, who is the number two on just about any other team in the entire league.
Yeah,
just happens
we're not doing this. We're not going to do this. We can't, like, and it was the headline that I'm like, no, guys, like, there was that was a thing for Jordan and Pippen, because Jordan was transcendent and Pippen was also really good, but it was like, that's a shot. We don't need to do that every time. Klay Thompson wasn't, to me, like, yeah, he wasn't quite the player Steph Curry was, but I still don't buy that philosophy. Like, they just have two great players. We didn't used to do that, I don't think, before we had Jordan and Pippen. I don't think we need to do it now. They're just two great players. And there are going to be a lot of nights where one of them is the best player on the floor and the other one is the second best player on the floor. And they'll rotate that. And SGA is the MVP. And I'm not saying, you know, Williams should be an MVP. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They have two star players that can just be two star players, can't they? We're not going to let that happen, by the way. Like, I'm saying this, like, it ain't going to happen, though. It's going to be this way, and then he'll be the two, and then I'm sure in like 3 years they'll beef about it, and he'll go. So like, we've seen this story way too many times in the NBA. It's too predictable.
Yeah, well, we're going to have – we'll sit here and have this discussion, but then people will flip on the big networks, and they'll ask, is this the best performance we've ever seen by a Robin to a Batman?
A number two.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, side tangent, the – an unnamed network has spent the last 40 minutes talking about the Knicks and KD, and then we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers. So we can talk about all the ratings that what's wrong with the ratings? Well, they're not even doing anything to give these finals the flowers they deserve. What are we doing?
Well, it's one, the NFL storylines, and we're going to have Felix Johnson in a little bit. NFL storylines always reign supreme. You and he both have to like catch me up on anything of significance with the Chiefs workouts last week, because I have no idea And around the NFL, this has felt like, and this is, I think, why Rodgers is getting some of the head. I don't know that people are as interested in Rodgers as they have been historically. In fact, I don't think that they are. I just think it's kind of been a slow off season, and in a sport where it almost never is, it's been kind of slow. Like, where there hadn't been a lot going on here in the NFL, and that's a little strange. And I think it's why you're seeing everybody like, "Oh, Aaron Rodgers, everybody, Aaron Rodgers, yay, NFL! Like, we got to win Aaron Rodgers."
I'm just so sick.
There's nothing else going on. There's no, like, I mean, there's a couple of things that are interesting, a couple of contract holdouts that are interesting, but it isn't that. I mean, it's just kind of been business as usual for the NFL this year, and the NFL doesn't like that, by the way. Mm-hmm. They don't like that at all.
Yeah, we had the Trey Hendrickson, T.J. Watt, those contract negotiations, holdouts, whatever we're going to call those. But yeah, I mean, there was all this steam of potential trades. These guys who went out, we saw it with the George Pickens, we saw it with D.K. Metcalf, but in Debo. But otherwise, it has been an oddly slow offseason. But hey, we got games in 3 months. I'm ready.
I know. We'll dig in with Felix Johnson next hour. We'll get back into the Royals. What do they need to do to snap out of this? We've kind of talked about the situation that's presented itself. Now what do they do? We'll give away a little HTO as well. Don't go away. We got more Sports Daily coming up. It's all Brockton Zinner. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. Hope everybody is okay after that pretty gnarly storm that blew through this morning early. Still sort of waiting to hear any kind of official news with the Wichita Open as the grandstand areas took a pretty direct hit and quite a bit of damage in that wind last night. And we're expecting more tonight, as you've heard Jake Dunn and the Storm Team 12 tell you on the updates here. We'll see. I don't know yet. I'm concerned for everybody. Like, the neighborhoods are trashed, cars are damaged. Like, that wasn't fun for anybody. And sometimes it's wind like that can really be as disruptive as anything else. So good luck out there. I haven't ventured outside to begin the survey of my house yet, but just to peek out the window, it's like, oh God, what are we doing here? It's going to be a mess. So good luck with that, everybody. We've got a big hour coming for you today. We are going to have Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, who will talk ball with all across the league here this morning. That's coming up for you here. We're going to get more into the Royals. What can they do to turn this thing around? We talked about what's happened, what off the field the plans could be. What about on the field? Like, what can they do? What is the thing that needs to happen to sort of shake this from them and get them back into the mix? It's all coming up for you here in this hour. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. Some of my favorite pizza is my favorite pizza in town, I think. Love Wichita Brewing Company. Glad they're a part of the show now. All right, Brandon, let's talk a little bit here about what we envision for the Royals over the next couple of weeks, and like, how do you shake out of what's happened here lately? I think first and foremost, if the starting pitching, which was fine in that series, but if it doesn't remain as locked in as it has, I think they're going to have a hard time. And I bring that up because that's a big ask. It's a big ask of this rotation to keep this up for an entire season, but you kind of have to start there. You've got Cole Reagan's hurt right now. Jonathan India's hurt a little bit. Hunter Harvey's been hurt all year. Like, they've got some injuries that they're dealing with. But I think if they're going to do anything big picture where they get back to the postseason, it has to start with the starting pitching still being the strength of this team for the rest of the season, which to me is a big ask. Because they're all coming off of that year they had last year. Everyone's sort of in a new frontier on the amount of innings they pitched. Of course, Noah Cameron, you'd hope that shine doesn't wear off, but it feels like it's got to at some point. Maybe it doesn't. That's where it has to start for me. They have to continue to be one of, if not the best rotations in the American League.
Yeah, that combo of one of the best rotations in the American League, and then probably two games a series, at least one game a series, that combo of of Lynch and Urseg and Estevez has to close the door. We talked about it in the last hour. I mean, through 72 games and then dating back 30 games last year, the Royals offense has not shown an ability to. We're going to go out and we're going to go win a game 7-2. We're going to put up that many runs twice in a series. That's not the reality with this team. So it has to rely on the starting pitching, and that has to be you have four really capable starters right now. Cole Reagans, unfortunately, we believe that everything has just been tied with the bad ERA, the runs given up, the hits given up. Everything has been tied to the groin, and then in his last start, the rotator cuff. But you still have four very, very capable starting pitchers that you can rely on every single night, and those guys have to continue to lead the way. The rest of this first half, I broke it down last night on 12 News. It's brutal. You're going to the Rangers for three, to the Padres for three. Then you host the Rays, who are red hot, the Dodgers, who are probably the best team in all of baseball, them and the Tigers. Then you go to the Mariners, to the D-backs, hosting the Pirates, and hosting the Mets. Only one of those teams is under 500, and that is the Pirates. It's going to be a brutal, and it's going to be a trying stretch over the next month, according to Fangraph. They are only favored in the pitching matchups three times, and that's a span of 20-something games. So yeah, the starting pitching is going to have to live up to the billing that they've set the last 2 months, because it's going to be a brutal end of the first half, just when you look at the opponents.
That's always been there.
Yeah.
But the Royals are a team that other teams need to deal with, too. So it's funny, like, we both agree, like, they have to continue to pitch that way. That's not even the problem, right? That's this weird, like, their biggest issue, certainly, it's their biggest strength. But if it's not there, I think they're in huge trouble. Huge trouble if they can't stay being that kind of a starting rotation. So we start there. So then what happens with the offense? Because we know the offense has to be better. How much better can it be? Like, you know, like, I don't know at this point, because the CAGs call up, I still think big picture helps. I just don't know how much people should expect him to directly help it. Like, he's going to be a handy player. He's probably going to heat up and hit some home runs, but he's not going to, like, we wanted him in the middle of the lineup. I think it's a little confusing, because, like, I was like, plant him in the middle of the lineup. That's for his own protection, not because I think he's going to come up and be an all-star. The guy has had no time to adjust to big league pitching and in the minor leagues, right? Like, of course, he hasn't had the time in the big leagues, but he hadn't had the time in the minor leagues. We've said it from the beginning. This is why he fell to number six. He didn't fall to number six. He's a prodigious power prospect, right? Like, he has got as much power as any player ever has as a you know, a draft prospect. But he fell to number six. I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. This is why. It's because if you can't hit home runs if nobody ever gives you a pitch to hit. And if I'm a pitcher in the big leagues right now with him, like, I ain't gonna give him a pitch to hit, not out of the ballpark. And he's gonna have to adjust to that. And he's gonna have to do it on the fly. And we've known that, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, with his expectations and everything else, we knew that was going to happen. He didn't have time to do it in the minor leagues. So he's going to have to do it in the major leagues. And I think that he can. And I think that we're seeing good signs that he will, quite frankly. But it still has to happen. So what else can happen? They're probably, I would say, the chances they go make a trade for a bat are pretty low as of June 17th. Just doesn't make a lot of sense at the moment. So really, it's just going to have to be more of, they need Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvi to find what Vinny found, which is normal, you know, find normal and lift the offense up enough. And it has gotten better. Now, this would have been before last week when when things got crazy for me off the air. So I don't know what last week's series do to this, but their runs per game have gone up. Their offense has gotten better over the course of this season. It just hasn't been super consistent. I would imagine the average for June has gone back down now after they only scored 5 runs in the Yankees series and then 6 runs in the A's series. But, you know, May was significantly better than April, almost a run a game better. And then June was before last week off to the start, where it was another half run better than it was in May. And then last week happened. So I don't know where that went. But if they can get a, I've always said if this can be a 4+ run a game team, they're going to be fine. But they're having a real hard time consistently getting to 4, which is just league average. This has to have the ability to be a league average offense. So that's where I would go next. They have to continue to be one of the best starting rotations in baseball. And they're going to have to become a league average offense. They're just like, that's long term. You know, we're not even halfway through the season. I think to me, those are the two things that are going to have to happen if this team's going to stay in it and have a chance to make the postseason. And so there need to be improvements in the lineup, of course. And they need to just keep doing what they've been doing in the starting rotation, which I also think is a big ask. I think both of those things are big asks.
Now, because you touched on Caglione to start, we've seen him for 2 weeks in the majors. He's shown some good things. He had a hit up the middle in, I think it was the last game, that was a pretty impressive lefty-on-lefty contact. We talked about that with Jalen Thompson yesterday. The advanced metrics still, like what Caglione has done, still a two-week small sample size. He has the highest hard hit percentage on the team. His exit velocity is only behind Bobby Witt Jr. His expected on-base percentage, 362. Expected batting average, 323. He's hitting the ball well. He's hitting it where he should. Even in that first game against the Cardinals, he had 3 hits taken away that probably should have been if it wasn't for Nolan Arenado, and then a great play in center field as well. He is going to provide a spark at some point. Like Jalen Thompson said yesterday, he's going to have a week here soon probably where he's going to hit 4 homers in a week, and he's going to show that flash. He has that kind of ability. He's not having outrageous strikeouts, nothing like we see with Salvador Perez. He has the ability to provide a spark to this offense, and I know fans are waiting anxiously. It's 2 weeks, and he hasn't hit a home run. But it's gonna come, and who knows? Maybe it is a dinger Tuesday on one of the apps. I'm wondering if I'm gonna get in the office at 2 o'clock today, and
you're gonna get Jacob's some odds.
Jacob's gonna be like, hey, I'm on Jack tonight.
I haven't been bet. Let's talk about that after we talk to Felix Johnson, because I haven't made any bets, and I need to get going here. But get revved back up. All right, we'll come back. We'll have Felix Johnson. We'll talk a little ball, a little football when you turn on Sports Daily.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
You want to win some HTO right now here from us on KFH and Sports Daily? You can. Just text the keyword TEA to 20357. You can enter once per day. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from, East or West Wichita or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Real quick housekeeping. We'll see if we've got our HTO booth out at the Wichita Open. But Jay Delling, who runs all the media and is kind of our go-to for all things Open, is going to join us in just a little bit, get us an update, because things got smashed out there in this windstorm last night. So we're going to get an update from Jay on what the plan is. I know a lot of buzz right now, like, what do they do? What do they do? We'll get the very latest there. All right, we welcome in Felix Johnson now. Felix is writing for Arrowhead Addict and all kinds of things right now, all off season. Felix R. Johnson on X. Felix, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're good.
Trying to stay dry out here. I mean, that's something that we're all focused on, I guess. I mean, I didn't know that it was the middle of June. We're all going to try and figure out how to stay dry. I guess it was going to be from rain and not sweat. But
it's just so interesting, because when I first moved here, when I was doing like weekend news and I was anchored, like, we had flooding stories constantly in this time of year, like constantly towns were underwater because those rivers would. And then we just went like 3 years. It just didn't rain. And so now I think we've forgotten, like, this is all this is kind of normal here. Not 100 mile per hour winds, which is what we got last night, which might set a record, I believe. But, you know, rain this time of year is what's supposed to be happening. And we're getting it. And Kansas, we don't ever like it when it comes in a storm. But I think we forgot what rain was like after years off. Felix, it has been. We talk about this all the time and joke, and like, they're just nothing coming. And like, this has been a slow NFL summer, and it never could be more obvious than the forced conversations nationally about Aaron Rodgers, which, like, the Steelers are not going to be an interesting team next year.
No,
like, if they win games, it'll be the same old boring Steelers football that Aaron Rodgers happens to be good at. But they're not going to be that interesting.
Right.
And it's the thing everyone wants to talk about. But it's like, guys, it's like Rodgers seems like he's kind of old and over it. And Tomlin ain't going to let that happen anyway. And like, their brand's going to be the same.
Well, I think to your first point, like, it's kind of been a slow NFL offseason by NFL standpoint, because over the last like 5 or 6 years, we've seen big quarterbacks move, whether it's Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, like Matthew Stafford, and they generally go on to have success. And we last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, and we all remember how that happened. Russell Wilson goes to the Broncos and Pittsburgh. We all know how that happened. So it's just kind of like, even the big moves that have happened in the last 2 years, it's like, whatever. And so, like, Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, he's the third best quarterback on a good day. And that depends on if the Browns, like if Joe Flacco is having a good couple of weeks or whatever the case may be. Aaron Rodgers is never going to be better than Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson ever again. And so you're operating with the third best quarterback in your division. You might have the best coach between him and between Tomlin and Harbaugh, but at the same time, you've got too much to deal with just because you've got two of the best offenses in the entirety of the NFL in Cincinnati and Baltimore, and Cleveland's cooking something. I don't know if it's going to be a crappy meal or not, but it's something.
And all these teams are just making some moves, just trying to be J.J. McCarthy in the Super Bowl, and it's not going to happen. I'm not sure what everyone's doing. No, Felix, we've had some time to digest the offseason now for all the moves that the Chiefs have made. Pretty underwhelming free agency that they did with, I mean, Jalen Moore, obviously the go-to player when you look at the free agency class, and then when you look at the draft, obviously Josh Simmons and Jalen Royal are the ones that stand out. Just what do you digest of what the Chiefs were able to do this offseason? How does it sit with you now a couple months later?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. We saw after Super Bowl 55 that the Chiefs lose to the Buccaneers, and it's basically because they couldn't stave off the pass rush. What happened in Super Bowl 59, basically the same thing, and they were able to rebuild the offensive line. So I think it's a lot of retooling there and trying to see whether it's going to be Jalen Moore, Josh Simmons, and there we go. There's some more thunder. But we're dealing with trying to see this offensive line be rebuilt. And so like what you mentioned, a lot of the pieces being fit into there, and this is – the offensive line, you got to have Patrick Mahomes protected. And so trying to figure out exactly how that group meshes together is going to be interesting as this offseason goes along. But the Chiefs, they've had great drafts the last couple of years, so they haven't had to go to free agency because the defense is mostly set. We've seen they've made their moves in the offensive line. There's not a ton of top-tier wide receivers that you can just go out and grab in free agency. So I think the Chiefs have done what they could, and obviously we talked about the draft where that's just kind of like a Brett Veach thing to do where it's, all right, we get a tackle, go get a bunch of defensive backs, wide receiver in the middle rounds, and that's it. And a running back at the end of the draft. So that's what Brett Veach does just about every year. And so we're kind of expecting that. And so seeing if those guys can be pivotal contributors moving forward, at least early on in their careers, like we've seen in the last couple of years with a lot of the Chiefs rookies and young players, that's going to be the big part moving forward for Kansas City.
I mean, I think we all agree that left tackle is the most impactful and influential thing to watch right now for the Chiefs. Crystal balling it based on what we're hearing, what we're seeing. I mean, what's the most likely scenario at tackle? Is it Jalen Moore with Josh Simmons coming along slowly? Is it Simmons being healthy and stepping right in there? Is it both of them being good and a guy like Juwan Taylor maybe losing his starting role? Like, what do you think is the most likely beginning of the season scenario and then end of the season scenario if it's any different?
I think that Jalen Moore probably starts the season. I don't know if it lasts the full season or even the first full month of the season because a lot of people, I mean, including Brett Veach and Andy Reid, have a lot of hope in what Josh Simmons can be. And the only way you figure that out is by getting the guy on the field and seeing if he can play. So I think it starts out with Jalen Moore, but then Josh Simmons kind of plays your swing tackle where if Juwan Taylor goes down for a couple of snaps or a game or two, he can play right tackle. The same thing can be said for Jalen Moore once he comes out. So I think it was a calculated move for Kansas City to get two tackles this offseason through the draft, through free agency, because you're going to need a little bit of a swing tackle because we've seen a lot of different teams over the last couple of years bring that sixth offensive lineman, Ben Johnson in Detroit. He'll probably bring it to Chicago with him. So I think that's what Kansas City could be trying to work with a little bit, but obviously just having as many options as you can to figure out that left tackle spot. It's probably going to be Josh Simmons in the long run, but I think Jalen Moore starts the season, but I could be wrong. We'll probably get to week one and just say, screw whatever Felix said.
Staying on the offensive line, the Chiefs in the offseason, they franchise tag Trey Smith. He signs it. Brett Veach sitting here for weeks on end saying, we have every intention of getting a long-term deal done with him. Here it is. June 17th, he didn't participate in OTAs. He was in the Chiefs media day. He was there yesterday. We'll see if he takes the field for mandatory minicamp today. Just what do you make of there being no Trey Smith deal done? Do you think one gets done or will he hit free agency after a franchise tag year?
I think the hard part with a Trey Smith his entire situation. They get him in the sixth round, and then he's a starter. I think they won he was a win in that case. And so if he goes, and whatever the case may be, tough, but he's just not, you're not going to be able to afford a guard like that, at least because he has been making sixth round pick money for the last couple of years. Now he's the best guard in football, or at least one of. So it's just such a bridge to cross that I think it's going to be, it's just kind of hard. You tag them up, you're trying to win another Super Bowl just because it's Kansas City. It's kind of hard just to say, yeah, bring them in long term, because there's such a giant bridge to cross, and he'll probably get more money elsewhere, like a Joe Tooney did. He got the extension in Chicago, and we'll see what other teams are able to, or what they'll need in this upcoming offseason. But and it's entirely possible that Kansas City figures it out because that's what they want to do, and Travis Kelce retires and they have some more money freed up, or whatever the case may be. So I just think that it's such a giant bridge to cross with a player like Trey Smith. As great as he has been, it's already been a win.
I've told Jacob from day one, I never believed that a long-term deal was going to get done.
It doesn't make any sense. They can't do it. I haven't thought so either. And honestly, like, Trey Smith's just going through the motions. I think Trey Smith, I'm perfectly happy being paid like a top left tackle right now. If I'm Trey Smith for a year, I don't have any problem with that. There's a lot of assurances in what's happening but he has to not, like, he can't show up to this stuff.
Exactly.
That's all just like the business of it. I don't think it's going to be a distraction. I don't think he's a problem. I don't think it's going to be a holdout. He's going to make a ton of money to be a guard, and that's going to be just fine. What about the other guard spot? We haven't talked about that at all, I feel like, this offseason. They traded Joe Tooney. And if you have to, like, pull a question right now, we assume left tackle will be better. And I think that's a safe assumption. Mm-hmm. Even if you were going to say it's going to be better than Joe Tooney trying to just give him a Band-Aid, I think that's a safe assumption. I think that's fair. What about left guard, though? Because they don't have Tooney. Are we really, like... Oh, yeah, Kingsley Suamataya, who is as outmatched a rookie as there ever has been that we've seen, is just going to slide in and be real good at left guard. I think he can be, but, man, I think, you know what they say about assumptions. Like, I'm willing to, you know, to do that at left. I don't know that I'm willing yet to do that at left guard. And maybe that's our answer with Simmons. Maybe one of those other guys. Maybe Simmons or more goes to left guard.
Do we really think
Suamataya is just going to do awesome?
I think no. I mean, that you can't make any assumptions just because of what we have seen, and it's just he's playing a new position. But there is still some potential. He's incredibly young. Kingsley Suamataya is 22 years old. He was a five-star coming out of high school, and I know that it's high school. It shouldn't matter that much, but he's still incredibly young and has all that potential. Kansas City wouldn't have drafted him had they not believed that it would have been a longer-term project. I think that's why he probably slipped to the second round, aside from coming out of college. I don't know if it was early, whatever the case may have been. But I think that it does – the left guard position, and this is coming from a guy who played left guard for most of his high school and college life, it doesn't matter unless the left tackle position is figured out. Like, unless Joe Tooney – like, having an all-pro at left guard is awesome, and if you can have Quentin Nelson do it, but it almost doesn't matter if your left tackle – isn't any good, at least in the pass game. And being that they have Creed Humphrey, I'm a little bit more lenient in, like, all right, we can figure out the left guard spot. And knowing that Trey Smith is on the right guard spot, I'm going to trust that they'll figure out left guard, even if he's probably going to be the third best out of the third or out of the three interior offensive linemen, just because the other two are that good. So if it's Kingsley Suamataya, which it probably will be, I think it behooves Kansas City just to put him there to figure out if he can play at all. And I think that he can, just because there's a lot of potential there. And I believe in Kansas City, but who knows if they'll figure it out. If not, then it's the left guard spot, and we'll probably just not even notice as much and throw in Caliendo or whomever else.
Okay, that's a lot of offensive lineman talk here on a Tuesday morning.
We can keep going.
We talked an entire season about it last year. I mean, what the hell?
We probably will have to as the year goes on. But now, Felix, especially this time of year, you cover the whole NFL as a whole as well. Is there a team out there that you think isn't getting talked about, or maybe underperformed, or something last year that you were just really excited to see take the field this year, that you think there's always going to be a team that goes from last to first in a division? I think, a lot of people are going to point to the Niners as finishing last year, that they have a chance to do it this year. Is there a team that's under the radar that you are really excited to watch this year?
It's easy to, I don't think the Chicago Bears are necessarily under the radar just because of the, they got Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, the former number one overall pick, and it's Chicago. But I think they're going to be a team that could go maybe not worst to first, but worst to contending for their division just because of the NFC North. But another team, I believe the Arizona Cardinals are kind of interesting. Obviously, Kyler yes. Murray, he's Kyler Murray, greatest high school quarterback in Texas history. Their defense, look out for that defense. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. That's why I don't believe in San Francisco as much, because I think the division is getting better, not to mention the Rams. The Rams were the only team in the playoffs to lose to the Super Bowl champions by one score, and it came down to like the final possession, the final player, whatever it was. So I think that NFC West is a lot more interesting than it has been in the last like year and a half or 2 years, just because San Francisco has been dominant and then they were hurt and not good. And then Arizona, now they're legit. I can see Kyler Murray figuring something out. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. still has some potential in him. He's kind of like the Kingsley Suamataia of wide receivers from last year. So just because he had all this potential and he didn't prove it at least. And they have Trey McBride, one of the best tight ends in the league. So I'm interested to see what Arizona does. There's a few other teams that you can just kind of pick and choose, but it's hard to go in the AFC with that because there's so many great quarterbacks that those teams are probably winning their division. And then the NFC's just got everybody.
That's exactly
right, one.
Oh, go ahead. That's the team that I was going to pick. So, I mean, Felix, yeah, you and me are right in step. I mean, they add Josh Sweat this offseason, Walter Nolan mm-hmm. as well, and Jonathan Gannon, a defensive guy. That is going to be a fun team to watch this fall.
That the whole division is going to be pretty wild. I'll go to it because I was just back home, and of course, all of my family and nieces and nephews are all asking me about the Cowboys. Oh my God. All of them. And I'm like, here's because the Pickens move, right? And the young kids that are asking me, they love the video, and they're like, oh, Pickens is so good. And I know you have thoughts on Dak, so I'd be curious for your like, is Pickens a great fit for Dak? Because I love Pickens too on the field. Off field, he's kind of a knucklehead. But mm-hmm. like, is he a good fit on his deep ball abilities for what you think Dak might still have left in the tank?
I mean, Dak is a good quarterback. I mean, we've talked about that before.
But he ain't throwing moon balls like Russell Wilson.
And I don't think Russell Wilson's throwing moon balls like Russell Wilson was at one. And I know that he did it a couple times this year, but we saw by the end of the season what Russell Wilson was as a quarterback. And Dak Prescott is just better in general. Sure. So I think yep. that regardless of if they're going to be going as deep as Russell Wilson was last year, I think that the Cowboys offense with George Pickens, and whether his stat line is probably going to decrease because CeeDee Lamb is in the room. He's a top three receiver in the league. And it's kind of a gap after that. And there's a lot of really good receivers in the NFL just because every athlete in high school or middle school wants to play receiver. And so they eventually end up becoming NFL receivers. And so we've seen great talent go to the receiver position. But CeeDee Lamb is Justin Jefferson, him, and Ja'Marr Chase. And that's about it. And then everybody else. So I think that George Pickens, as much of a knucklehead as he can be, there's a clear hierarchy in the room of like, no, it goes CD, then me, and then everybody else. Now Dak, and with Dak as established as he is now, prior with Dez Bryant, it may not have been the case because he was a fourth round rookie and kind of figuring it out. Now he's Dak Prescott and he is the face of the Dallas Cowboys, love it or hate it. I think that he has the entire captainship of that room, if you will.
Now, I guess, Felix, opposite of what I asked you with my last question, what division winner do you think is most primed to take a step back? I personally believe it's the Lions. They lose both of their coordinators. They battled through injuries last year and still found a way to get to 15 wins. I don't know if they had that same amount of luck this year. What says you about which division winner is most primed to take a step back?
Rapid fire here, Felix. Who's
that's
right
a good pool with the Lions. The Eagles, they're not making the playoffs next year. Go take a look Woo! At that.
I like that.
I'm telling
you. I don't even care if you're right. I like that energy.
I'm right.
I like right. that energy. All right. We'll get into some predictions as we make our way through. Felix, be good. Go start picking up some sticks outside. I think everybody needs we can all pitch in a little bit here. We are glad to be joined by Jay Delling with Wichita Open for a last-minute Normally, Jay, when we talk to you, it's probably on a Wednesday. We're getting ready for the golf. That story has now, for all intents and purposes, taken a backseat to the other story, as it looks like record-setting wind, a gust of 101 mile per hour in the city, did some damage out there to the facilities. I'm seeing some of the pictures. It looks really bad, Jay. Is it really bad? Like, what is going on out there, and what's the plan here?
Well, I don't know if you can see in the background.
Yeah, we
kind of
see if you're watching our video stream. Jay's got
If you're watching the video stream, you can see the hospitality area on number 18, which is directly behind the green here at Crestview. The construction engineers are on their way in to see if it's even structurally safe to just take off the top and potentially have people just kind of set on the deck. But the roof is gone. There's similar damage down on number 17, which has always been known as the party hole here at Crestview Country Club. There's just a lot of severe damage. There's even smaller tents, like there's a tent just off the 10th tee here at Crestview. The straight line winds overnight, which they say amounted to about 80 miles an hour, just absolutely ripped through the golf course, and any small tent is absolutely destroyed. You can see what it's done to the bigger facilities here at Crestview. And there's even some damage on the golf course. For example, number 5, it's a par 3 that goes from north to south. And there is a water hazard that's on the left, and then it kind of comes to the front of the fairway. There is a big tree that's fallen over the cart path, and it's situated that even a player can't even walk across the cart path to get to the green area. And so that has to be removed before players can even think about playing. Right now, obviously, the course is closed. It's still raining. There's lightning in the area. There's severe damage to the golf course. So there's a lot of work to be done. The hope is the weather might clear by early afternoon, and some players might be able to get on the golf course for a practice round. But as of right now, look, I've been doing this for 36 years, and I've seen a lot of weather, and we all know that here in the Midwest, in the late spring and early summer, we experience severe weather all the time. Tornadoes, straight-line winds, thunderstorms, things like that, and we're used to some damage, but this is pretty catastrophic out here today.
Jay, what can you tell us about what are the next few hours going to look like, and then potential for more severe weather this evening as well? What are you guys doing to try to brace for what could be some more dangerous storms moving through the area tonight?
Yeah, so right now it's all about safety. So you know, all of the experts are here on site to figure out what kind of salvage they can do to the already existing damage of, for example, number 18 and number 17. So that's a tournament, Dusty Buell and his staff and the Korn Ferry Tour staff. So that's one issue. And then the other issue is the golf course itself, the damage, the down trees, down limbs, things like that. So, you know, it may be one of those things where, you know, they gather the membership who has chainsaws, and let's get out here and, you know, cut up some trees so we can at least get it off the golf course. But right now it's all about safety. We're not letting anybody that's not – doesn't have a role with the tournament to be on site right now. That could change this afternoon. But right now except for those directly involved with the golf tournament, we're not allowing anybody on the grounds.
Okay, so stay away, folks, unless you might be able to help, and then you can reach out and see if that is possible. The other thing, you know, the golf itself, like the tournament, and can they play the tournament and all those things. But then what about for fans? Yeah, I mean, are fans, you know, should fans right now, with another round of storms rolling in potentially this evening, still expect to come out for the same? So it may look a little different because the stuff blew down, but, you know, for the same sort of festivities, if, you know, these storms clear, what is tomorrow, Wednesday, and there's a place to stand, like, is the expectation to still be ready to roll?
Yeah, because on Wednesday of any professional tour event, whether it's the Korn Ferry Tour or the PGA Tour, it's big Pro-Am day. And corporate Wichita look forward to this day all year long. They put forth a lot of money, a lot of time investment into gathering the troops together to come out here and play the same course that the professionals will start playing on Thursday. So those are things that are on the mind of Dusty Buell, the tournament director. There's no doubt that, you know, he's earning his money this week and especially today, no doubt. But the first thing to do is just get the people that can come out and assess the situation, because safety is absolutely the first thing that's on the mind of Dusty Buell, and he's totally on top of that. And so once we assess that damage and get some of that damage off the golf course, then attention can go to, hey, what does Pro-Am Day look like tomorrow? What does first round look like on Thursday? Can we salvage what's going on 18 and on 17? Can we salvage that? Is it structurally safe to put people on it and things like that? So all those decisions are going to be made in the next few hours. But just want to let everybody know that safety is our number one priority. And, you know, normally there's 156 players that start Thursday to try to win this championship. And Mother Nature just entered the tournament. So now we have 157.
And just what is your message to fans? It's possible you guys go through and look at the options today, and that those areas on 17 and 18, they are impacted. Just what is your message to fans about just your guys' dedication to still trying to put on the best experience possible this weekend in Wichita?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the priority, because again, you know, you two have been out here, you know what the experience is like on 17 and 18, especially on 17. So that's certainly the priority. We want to get it to some form of being able to receive the people that have paid their hard-earned money to be there. And if we can do that safely, that will certainly happen.
And it's not, you know, there's 4 days of this. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have even had a chance to talk to the crews that put those stands together. Is there 17, in the pictures I've seen, 17 doesn't look as bad as 18.
And that's correct. Somehow it didn't. I don't know how, because it's a much bigger structure than 18. Mother Nature has a weird way of navigating herself around things like this. And here's the other interesting thing. As you two know, we have the Path of Champions, right? That the cart path that goes between number 18 and number 10 here. We have all 36 winners. We have their flags up that stream down that cart path. And 35 champions. This year will be 36. 34 of them are gone. The only one that has stayed up is last year's winner, Taylor Dixon. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
He's at the Travelers this week, so it's not like he's coming here to play, but at least our most recent champion, his flag is still up. But it's
one of those things. We all just got to throw our hands up. We're going to be out there with HTO, and we're trying to get our stuff set up. And I see that, and I'm like, what are we doing here this week? And of course, we've got all our media coverage. We're going to be out there broadcasting live 4 hours Thursday and Friday. And it's just like, well, I mean, I guess we're just going to see what happens here. But you do expect some clarity. So if people are looking for updates as far as like the fan experience and stuff, you do expect some more information coming throughout today than that those kinds of decisions could come that soon?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's boots on the ground right now assessing that and making some of those decisions. And we will certainly make information available as we get it. But it's truly amazing how golf courses, like at the U.S. Open, if you watch the U.S. Open on Sunday, the torrential rains they had, the delay they had, I mean, that golf course was underwater. But once the rain stopped and the staff got out there and squeegeed some of the greens and fairways, it was so playable. Same thing out here at Crestview. It is amazing at what these crews can do when Mother Nature intervenes.
Jay, get a hammer and some nails. We need a party on 17.
You got it.
All right, Jay, we appreciate it. Whatever the updates are, Jay will let us know. We'll let you know here and on 12 News and all the places. Good luck out there, man. I hate this for everyone. It sucks, but we'll
get through it.
We'll make the best of it as we always do when the weather affects us as it does in this part of the country. Jay, appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There goes Jay Delling with the Wichita Open. You'll see some of the images today if you haven't, and they're not good. Like, it sucks. I feel terrible for all the work that goes into that thing. And it, like, you get to this part, and if you ever drive by there, you see it, and it's like it's all coming together, and it's all good. And then you see it this morning, and it's like, oh, my goodness, it's all down. 17 looks better than 18. I will say that from what I've seen. 18 looks rough, but 17, I think they might be able to get 17. The problem is we're going to have another storm tonight, and I don't know exactly where that storm is supposed to hit. We'll keep you apprised here on the air and on 12 News tonight, but man, what a bummer.
Yeah, especially, I mean, there's just so much hype around this tournament, especially coming off of what was such an, for the casual golf fan, there was so much reason to tune into the U.S. Open over the weekend. So certainly just more people interested in the sport, fresh coming off of of that U.S. Open. I mean, J.J. Spahn won the U.S. Open. He played in this tournament and finished runner-up. Him and Colin Morikawa tied for a runner-up just a decade ago. So, I mean, yeah, there's some incredible names in this field that you're going to hear about in the coming years.
And this is the year that this tournament doesn't go up against the U.S. Open and go up against Father's Day. And I didn't think about, you know, potentially ramping up the party later into the weekend, but I don't know how much work they can do once the golf actually starts. I have no idea what they're going to be able to do. I know the grounds, the course, they'll get the course playable. Like, they'll get the course playable for the play. I have full confidence that they'll do that. I don't know about the other stuff. And look, maybe you can still come out and just walk around and still have a blast, or you're not up on a grandstand. We'll find out. They'll get the information out. Jay said he expects maybe in a few hours, but man, what a crazy morning to wake up to that. I knew the storm was bad. It didn't even dawn on me what it's going to do to these massive grandstands and bleachers out there. All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. We'll see if the Royals can get back on track. They go to Texas to take on the Rangers tonight. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock right here on KFH. Regular programming up to that point. We'll try to get you updates on the Wichita Open, so stay tuned to all the KFH and Odyssey social media. Stay tuned to 12 News and of course, the Storm Team 12 team is, they'll, you know, get us ready for the next round. It still hadn't stopped raining. It's raining a bunch right there. Glad to have Jay Dellen in for the update. Brandon, thanks for hopping on the last couple days.
Busy day at a Chiefs mini camp ramping up today as well. College World Series going on. It's a great time. In the middle of June, we love it this morning.
All right, that'll do it for us. For Max, for Brandon, for Felix, for Jay. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.